Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you to take a moment to stop and think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week I meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which changed their life forever. By talking about the things they wish they'd known, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things. And we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life's challenges. Today I'm speaking to Pippa. Pippa works as a lay missionary in the Catholic Church. Today she's speaking about turning 30 and how she spent her 20s trusting God, but sometimes her expectations and God's expectations were a bit different. In this conversation, Pippa speaks about what giving up a career in advertising and becoming a lay missionary actually means. So Pippa, what was life like for you in your 20s?
So my 20s was a wonderful decade of my life. It was a real adventure with God. I moved to London when I was 21. I graduated when I was 21. I did a short stint in America. And before that point, I had always anticipated that I would be an actress. That was always my desire. I had kind of gone to university to study drama. And I had this profound and life-changing encounter with God when I was 19. Really, it changed the course and the direction of my life. And it meant that my 20s particularly were dedicated to following and pursuing Jesus, putting my faith at the center of my life. So I moved to London when I was 21. And by that point, I'd done a lot of praying, a lot of seeking of, okay, what's this acting thing look like? Do I really want this? Is this what God wants for me? And I found that my desires for acting were changing a bit. And actually, I could see myself doing other things. And in the acting world, if you can see yourself doing other things, you should do other things, because it's quite a grueling industry. And but I then got a job in the advertising industry. So I worked in advertising from the age of 21 until I was 27. So 6.5 years. And it was an amazing, amazing time. I loved working in that industry. It was very fast-paced, very creative, strategic, worked with some brilliant people. I learned a lot about myself, about how to lead others, how to lead myself. And the working world, it really suited me. I loved it. But also alongside that, I also moved into like a house with other Catholics when I was 23. And that was amazing. And that was, again, it was very much a decision for me. I knew I wanted to grow in my faith. I knew I wanted to walk my days alongside other people who were putting Jesus first. And so we moved into this community with a small C, like a community house. And over that time, we were all working professionals and we would get up every morning and we would do morning prayer together. And from either at 6 a.m. or 6:30 for half an hour. And then we would do our personal prayer. And then I'd go into the office. I'd do the commute. And we lived this amazing life, trying to live a life of prayer and hospitality together whilst pursuing our careers in the centre of London.
So what made you decide to leave advertising then?
It was a big decision. And alongside my advertising career, I was doing a lot in the church world, in church ministry. So I lived in this house with my friends. We ran a worship night, which brought hundreds of people, not every week, but over the course of the 5 years we ran it, it brought hundreds of people into our home to worship Jesus. I was mentoring younger women. I was leading a conference for young Catholics. I was heading up One Hope Project and I started to speak at more conferences. So I was doing a lot. My life was kind of saturated, which is often the case in your 20s. And I wouldn't have had it any other way. It was amazing. It was such an adventure. But I noticed more and more that God was speaking to me about putting my time, my resources, my life and my love into working for the church. And I simply noticed this because I was dreaming more and more about how I could preach the word of God with greater zeal. And I was thinking about how can I lead this conference for young Catholics with humility and grace and purpose. I was thinking about my church ministry more than I was thinking about my advertising job. And really my advertising job, if you were to put it on paper, it was kind of like dream job in some ways. The last client I managed was the Cadbury's account. And I worked on some incredible pieces of business. But really, as I started to kind of pray and track through my life, I thought, I sense that I have this passion I feel in my heart for Jesus. I want to see that invested in the church. And so then I went into a period of discernment. And as a Jesuit podcast, you'll know the process of discernment is so important. I believe this wholeheartedly. I really believe so much in really seeking. And it's then when we'll really find. And yes, that discernment period started. And yeah, I mean, I can tell you a little bit more about that if
yeah, please do.
Yeah, I think something that I sense, so I really started to pray, Lord, what is it that you desire for me? What is it that you've created me for? This is what we read in the word of God, that God has created for us work specifically. You know, and St. John Henry Newman says this so beautifully. I have been created for a purpose, and it is mine and unique and mine alone. And so I went and I did a Ignatian retreat, and I started to pray about my life. I started to think about, okay, if it is advertising, I know that my life has kind of reached saturation point. I can't carry on with as much as I'm doing. So I started to imagine with God what it would look like to give up the church work and just for the advertising industry to be my mission field. And I tracked with the Holy Spirit, how does that make me, does that make my heart sing? Does that make me come alive? Because I believe that's what God wants for us, is us to come alive. And then I started to pray about, okay, well, what would it look like to give up my job? I knew that God wasn't calling me to a particular job that existed within the Catholic Church. So it wasn't like applying to a diocese, although that's obviously a wonderful option, but that's not what I sense God was having for me. So I started to think, okay, what would it look like for me to create a job with God? And I'd have to fundraise my salary. And I started to look, because God wants us to work within reality. We can't discern between two things that aren't real. We have to discern between two real options. And so I started to consider the reality of giving up my job and fundraising my salary. And frankly, when I started to pray about doing that, I experienced a wellspring of life in my heart and my soul. I knew I had to do it. I knew I had to do it. Yeah.
I remember meeting you at that time and you going to me, Julia, I'm going to be a missionary. And I was like, great. But how does that become a reality?
Yeah, well, I think firstly, the reality is that I heard God's call. I heard God's call. And this call isn't like a call from the sky in which we respond as robots. I think sometimes when we think about discernment, we so long to be robots. We want God to shout from the sky, this is what you should do. And we just obey. And this is mainly rooted in the fact that we're afraid of missing God's will. That's really, if we were to put it plainly, we're afraid, like, what if I miss it, God? And so therefore, we want it to be easy. We want God to shout it from the rooftops. We know what he's asking, and then we'll just do it, and then we'll be 10 out of 10 Catholics. But God doesn't work like that. We're not robots. We're not called to also apply our own thinking, our own human thinking, because God calls us to live supernatural lives, which goes beyond our thinking. What I discovered was the call, and discovering the call of God is entirely relational. It's relational. It's relationship. It's me and him. in this relationship of love, praying and discerning what we want to do together. So firstly, I heard the call and I had to take time to really hear that call. And then I set about, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to pray about what this actually would look like. So I knew that my mission had three key emphases that my heart was breaking for. And that's another thing. When we're discerning God's will, what does your heart break for? What are you passionate about? What are you longing for? For me, there were three things. Firstly, young people. I am passionate about the young people of our church being filled with the Spirit and sent out on mission, to know that they really do have a place in our church and that God wants to love and use them. So young people, I knew my mission would be investing primarily in young people, not exclusively, but young people, prayer and worship. I'm passionate about worshiping God. I'm passionate about praying myself and teaching others to pray. And that's where my work with One Hope Project came in. And then unity, expanding the kingdom of God in unity with my brothers and sisters across denomination. That was something that is deep in my heart. So I basically wrote down my vision for this mission and I put it in a letter. I said, this is what I feel God is asking me to do. And will you back me? And I sent 250 letters and I said, yeah, will you do it? And some people responded and said, yes, we'd love to give you money every month. Other people said, we can't give financially, but we'll pray for you, which is supercharges everything. And others said, you're crazy. What are you doing, you fool? But this is the reason why I believe that the discernment process is so important. And this goes across the board when we're discerning. When we know, when we have given time for God to speak, when we've really searched our hearts and we sense that God is calling us to something, it's from there, it doesn't matter what happens after that point. No matter how many people say to you, you're crazy, what are you doing? You're a fool. We can say, I am confident that Christ has called me to this. And it helps us through the battle. It helps us through the battle of doubt and self-doubt, I think, as well. So, so that's basically what I did back in 2017. And I have been able to live that way for, well, where are we now? Almost 9 years. Praise God.
So what does that missionary work look like for you now, 9 years later?
It looks like overseeing One Hope Project. One Hope Project is a worship collective and we write and record worship music and we lead worship all over the UK. And also we oversee and run a 6-month online worship school for anybody that wants to grow as a music minister, as someone who is invested in music or worship in their local context. And this is something I'd been dreaming about for a long time. And we literally just this week graduated our fifth cohort. God has just done amazing things with that. And we've had over 100 students from 13 different nations, and we've just launched it in the Polish language, and God has just got his hand on it. And I feel so grateful for that. So One Hope Project is a big part of my mission. I go all over the country speaking at different events, doing things like this. And then I also invest my time in like one-to-one mentoring, particularly of younger women, to help them grow as disciples, to help them access their hearts where the Lord lives, to help them grow in their prayer lives. And I also do work in Sheffield, where I live, a mission to young adults up here. So it keeps me busy.
Plenty going on. That's what.
Yes.
So going back to your 20s, if somebody had told you this is what you were going to be doing now, would you have like had any idea that this is what it would have grown into?
Well, no, God gives us more than we can even begin to imagine. And it moves me when I think about how good our God is. He has given me more than I could even imagine. Now, if you'd also have told me in my 20s, it's important to say this one, that I would have waited until I was 34 to get married, that one would have blown my mind as well. I suppose we've concentrated a lot on my mission and my work thus far, but I guess a big part of your 20s sometimes earlier for some people, sometimes slightly later, but it is definitely thinking about your state of life vocation. And that was a big part of my journey with Jesus. I knew after my big conversion experience at 19 that God reordered my life and he put him number one. And so it meant that my desires were rooted in wanting what God had for me. So there's no denying about that. I knew I wanted what God wanted. But discovering that was at times very challenging. It required a lot of waiting. It required a lot of pain. I was single from the ages of 25 to 29. 29, I was single. And over that time, that was when I really started to consider, what is my state of life vocation? I had kind of always assumed it was marriage. Because, I mean, that's very natural, isn't it? Marriage is a natural vocation. It's the call of most Catholics is to marriage. And I suppose it always felt quite natural to me that I would. But when I was 25, I kind of started to run harder after Jesus, I suppose, if you could put it in that way. And so I started to really consider, is marriage what you want for me, Lord? And that was a real journey for me.
You preempted my question, because I was going to ask you next, what were your expectations of being 30 when you were in your 20s?
Yeah, expectations are a funny thing, aren't they? Yes, I think if you'd have asked me when I was 21, will you be married by 30? I thought, yeah, probably. I'm not really a kind of goal-orientated person, which is probably counterintuitive to this lovely podcast. But for me, it really was just about following the Lord and living this life with him. But that being said, I probably thought, yes, I probably will be married by the age of 30. I probably have, by God's grace, I probably will have children. Now, what was interesting was when I was 33, I was in a relationship and I knew in my heart of hearts, he was a wonderful man and he was a good Catholic man. But I knew in my heart of hearts that this wasn't the man I was going to marry. And it was very, very, very difficult to come to that conclusion. But I knew I had to be brave. I knew that I had to pay attention to the lack of rest I experienced in my heart. And so at the age of 33, I was single. I went from being in a relationship from 30 to 33. And then I knew, like, gosh, this isn't the one that God has for me. And so I went into a period of singleness, and that was really difficult. That was really difficult. Talk about expectations. If you'd have told me, would you expect to be single at 33? No, I suppose not. But our expectations sometimes aren't in line with God's dreams for us.
That was a really powerful reminder as well. Like, I think I have quite a few conversations with people who are in their 20s, quite worried about turning 30. And I think it's because there is this expectation by 30, you'll have your life together. And you'll have, like, if you're going to get married, you'll be married. But actually, I think most people these days don't get married till they're 30, in their 30s anyway. But it's just like, you'll have your career, you'll be married, you'll have whatever's going to happen. But that's not actually reality for most people. But it's such a pressure around it as well.
There is a lot of pressure. And actually, sometimes that pressure sadly exists most loudly within the church, most loudly within, you haven't discovered your vocation yet. I so believe that life with God isn't about fitting the status quo. And you know, our status quo so often is a result of social constructs anyway. You must have done it this by this age. You must be married by this age. You must have 2.5 children by this age. You must have bought a house by this age. You must have reached your career goals by this age. We live in such a goal-orientated society, and life with Jesus is more about the person we're becoming, the journey of holiness. It's less about milestones and it's more about maturity of character. So how have the happenings of my life formed me to become more like the person of Jesus? That's what it says in Romans 8. It said that God knows his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. So it's all very well and good to say, well, okay, I'm 30 and I've hit all the milestones I wanted to. But if our character doesn't look like Christ's, you know, there's an argument to say there's something about how Jesus wants us to be like him. Jesus really wants to shape us into his identity. And also, I find it so interesting when we talk about this piece around 30, because Jesus himself, I mean, we know that we know this as Christians, that Jesus lived a quiet life until the age of 30. But if we actually consider that, Jesus was just interested in living in a loving relationship with his father. His character was growing. It says in Luke, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He grew in favor with God and man. He was obedient to his parents until 30. Until 30. And then it was only when he was 30, that's when he went out on mission. So it's not to say like we only care about looking like Jesus and not doing anything with our lives. I'm certainly not saying that. I'm a missionary. I believe that we all have a mission. But sometimes it takes time to discover that. And God is not in a rush. We're the ones in a rush. God is not in a rush.
Absolutely. I was just thinking back to my own wedding speech that when I got married, I was saying how I didn't go looking for a husband. I just was like going on dates with people and happened. And I fully believe it's God's timing of when I met my now husband rather than I was rushed into it or pressured into it because I turned 30.
Yes, I love that. And sometimes we also forget that like marriage, let's look at marriage just for a second. Marriage concerns two persons. It's not just about me and what I want. Like, God was doing something in my now husband at the time in which I was waiting for him. God was doing something in him. And in the time that Sam was praying for me and waiting for me, God was doing something in me. So to the point where when we were married on that most sacred, beautiful day, we were ready for one another. Because of the hand of God, it's not all about me. It also concerns the other, which is at the very heart of marriage. And obviously we're just concentrating on marriage because you and I are married, but God is always active in our hearts if we're seeking him. He is doing something so deep in our souls, even when we can't feel anything. So I suppose I would just say to anyone listening, like, let the Lord love you where you are right now. Let him mold you and shape you, particularly in a waiting period, particularly in that waiting period.
One of the things I love to say when I'm talking about being my 30s is that I feel like I know myself so much better than I did. I enjoy my 30s more now than I do enjoy my 20s because I found 20s quite a lot of time of being quite anxious about, am I doing the right thing? Is this what I should say, who I should be? But actually, that time, as you've said, I've grown with God. And so now I'm more confident or more aware of who I am. What would you say to somebody who's like maybe in their late 20s, who's feeling that like maybe that discovery or that anxiousness or that pressure? What advice would you give them?
I would say pressure never comes from God. God's way is peace. That God loves you more than you think he does. I've discovered that God really wants us to be happy. He really, really wants us to be happy. Life includes moments of desolation, but our day to day, God wants us in consolation. He wants us in his light. So that pressure, when you look at it, it's not coming from the heart of our Father. He's not there with a whip driving you forward. You've got to make decisions. You've got to get here. You've got to do this. That's not the way of our Lord. So I would say to someone who is experiencing that pressure and that worry to get yourself into a place of receiving God's love again for you. Go and be before the Blessed Sacrament. Ask the Lord to fill your heart with his love. And perfect love, his perfect love will cast out all fear in you.
So you've spoken about what you've learned about yourself, but what have you learned about God?
God is kind. God is powerful. God doesn't tease us. God will show us his plan if we seek him. God is the author of time. He knows what he's about and he knows what he wants for you. And I think something that's really helped me with all of this is really delving into the lives of the saints. And I suppose that would be another piece of advice I would give to someone feeling anxious about timelines, is to read the lives of the saints and be blown away by how unique each story is. Comparison wants to steal our joy. When we read the lives of the saints and we see their diversity, comparison seems to crumble. I think about, particularly when it comes to age, like Saint Teresa of Avila, one of my favorite saints, she had her profound awakening, her second conversion, she would say, at the age of 40, which ended roughly two decades of mediocre spiritual life. 40! Saint Gianna Beretta Mola, who is the patron saint of mothers, she got married at 33 and had her first child at 34. We get so worried about time. God is the author of time.
So with God being the author of time, he obviously has big dreams for us all, which you've obviously spoken about when you left your career in advertising. But how kind of do you balance that dreaming big whilst also living in the present?
Yeah, this is a great question, Julia, because I am naturally someone that thinks more futuristically. I'm very good at living a few months, a few years down the line. but I have really discovered that God is now, you know, he is the one who is here. I'm there thinking years ahead. He's not there. He's here. He's here right now. So the one thing I do to ensure that I can live presently is to really make my personal prayer time every morning sacred. And I protect it. And I want to spend time with my God today and give him my heart today. So that's definitely something that helps me live in the present moment. I think thanksgiving is key to that. If we can get into the habit of being thankful for everything that we're living today, whether that's triumph or trial, the growth in us will be huge. And I suppose also periods of rest. How do you balance dreaming big with living presently? You gotta stop. you gotta pause. You've gotta pause. So the habit of the beautiful spiritual discipline of Sabbath really, really helps with this. I suppose I just do want to focus briefly on how sometimes the present moment can be so difficult. It can force us to feel like we want to live in the future. What I mean by that is sometimes the suffering of the moment can be so difficult, we want it to be over. And I remember discerning my vocation and praying about marriage and waiting for my husband. And it honestly felt like such a heavy cross for me to bear. We all have different crosses we have to carry. Some people don't have to carry that cross of discerning your vocation. For me, I had to carry that cross. And at times, I thought, Lord, this is too hard. I want the easy way out. This is so hard. That's often why we want to live in the future. We want the pain to be over. But it's in that place where we really can know who God really is. And I know that when I look back on my life, it was from that place that I fell more in love with my God who suffered and died for me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for those moments.
In your 30s, it's kind of can be quite a strange time in terms of that you could be going to a wedding or a baby shower or something really joyful in one week, but in that same week end up going to a funeral or have some time of suffering in your own life. And you mentioned earlier about the point of Christ suffering. How did we like navigate the joys and suffering all together?
That is a lovely question, because I think it can be different for each person, but sometimes in your 30s, you can really notice how real life becomes. Life is full of responsibilities. Life is full of joys and sorrows. Just in January this year, my best friend had baby boys, twin baby boys, and 2 days later, my mother-in-law died. So I know the pain alongside joy. And I really believe that joy and pain can coexist. I believe that we can live a life with Jesus where we don't have to get so swallowed up in one that we forget the other. It feels like a dichotomy. It feels confusing, but Jesus examples this to us. There were times where he was in deep joy in his life with the Father, but he was weeping over places that didn't believe in him. We get to live that life with Jesus now. And really, it is the result of being on this earth, which hasn't fully been made new yet. This is the result of the fall. We experience pain and suffering, but we experience heaven on earth now, which is where there is no pain or suffering. So somehow, Jesus, the mystery is that he enters into the pain and he brings joy into that place. I think it's in that place of prayer where we really have this opportunity to bear ourselves before the Lord honestly. We can go into prayer and it can be a show. It can be fake. It can be autopilot. It can not really come from the heart. But we have this opportunity as Christians to allow God into the honesty of our lives, the joy and the suffering, and ask him for the grace to allow us to bear both. So for me, honest prayer is the key for that. Absolute key.
So what do you wish you knew before turning 30?
I think I wish I knew how powerful prayer is before I turned 30. I'm discovering that prayer is really what moves mountains. And I think I spent a portion of my 20s pushing and striving and trying to make things happen by my own strength. And The Lord answers our prayers. The Lord hears us when we pray. We're not just speaking to the sky. So the power of prayer is something that I am constantly amazed by. I think also that my spiritual director once said to me, when I was terribly worried about my vocation, he said, "Seek God before you seek your vocation." And I realized that as I sought God and I came to know the beauty of who he is, that he is alive, that Jesus is alive and active and actively working for my good, that when I sought God, I found all I need. I found all I needed. And so then my vocation came to me as my gift. When he gave me my husband, it was a gift from his heart to mine. And I also have discovered that God's way is worth the wait. I wish I'd known that. God's way is worth the wait.
What are you grateful for?
So much. I'm grateful to have had a wonderful conversation with you, Julia, about our God, who is so surprising and beautiful and dynamic and creative. I'm thankful for my home and my life and my relationship with Jesus.
Thank you, Pippa, for joining us.
You're welcome. It's been wonderful. Thank you, Julia.
Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this conversation is going to stay with me because Pippa speaks about her trusting in God, leading to something beyond what she could have imagined in her 20s. How about you? We'd love to hear how Pippa's story resonates with you. And why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew how to look at differently? It might just be something we can help with. You can find out more about this and other themes at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening. I hope you'll join me again next time on Things I Wish I Knew.